Good morning, everybody. It is good to be together after a little break. I hope you had a good Christmas and looking forward to the new year. We were in Liverpool over Christmas with Sarah's family, and it's potentially our last Christmas in Liverpool. Sarah's dad, who has led a church in Liverpool for the last 30 years or so, is coming up to retirement at the end of this year in October. And so they're working out what is next for them. And Bristol, yeah, that's what we're praying for, that Paul and Kay would come to Bristol. So it was lovely to be there, and also emotional, you know, just realizing that so much of our lives has been going up to Liverpool for 3 hours and getting, for me anyway, Sarah's had more experience in Liverpool than I have, but we've loved being there, loved the church there. And so we're also working out what that looks like for them, and we're praying for them, how God leads them. One of the highlights for me over Christmas was taking our eldest daughter Maddie and one of my nephews Seb to a clip and climb wall. So if you know clip and climb, it's like a kind of climbing wall for kids, although there were adults there as well having a great time. And we arrived at this center, and as soon as we signed in, they ushered us into the safety briefing room. So we walk into the safety briefing room, and we were then talked to for 15 minutes, which with 2 5-year-olds in tow, it felt unrealistic for the safety briefing to go into the brains of 2 5-year-olds. And we watched a video then of how to climb the walls and what it was all going to take. And I think by the end of the 15-minute safety briefing, the kids had forgotten that they were actually then going to get to climb the wall. And so the lady then, after putting the harnesses on them, she gets to the door and she says, "Okay, you're ready. You can climb." And the look on the faces of Seb and Maddie were like, "Well, we actually get to go and do this now." It's like, "Yes, guys, that's the reason why we're here." And as I began to think about that little moment, I was reminded just in my own walk with God that I often forget that part of the Christian life is to actually go and do some stuff, to live it out, that we aren't just called to sit in the safety briefing room where we're told to do this and not do this and do this when this happens, that we actually walk out the door, and that's when the Christian life begins. And we can get very comfortable, can't we, coming to church on a Sunday or a connect group in the week or meeting with friends, and we can listen to some stuff and then forget that actually we're invited to walk out the door, and that's where it all starts. And so I was reflecting on that over Christmas, and I was reminded of the book of James. And so if you have a Bible with you, why don't you turn to the book of James? It's just after Hebrews, and if you get to kind of 1 and 1st and 2nd Peter, you've gone too far. It's in the New Testament, towards the back of the Bible. And we're going to read 6 verses from James chapter 1, verses 19 through to 25. And I think the words will appear on the screen. But James picks up on this theme of listening and doing, hearing the word of God and then doing what it says. So let's read this together. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we want to take a moment now at the beginning of this year. And Lord, our deep desire is that we wouldn't just listen and stay in the safety briefing room of our lives, but that we would walk out the door and do what it says. And Lord, we know that as we do that, that is where blessing comes. That a blessed life is hearing you and doing what you ask us to do. And I pray for each one of us now as we consider your word today, that you would instruct us, that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us, that our lives would be changed because of your word to us today. I ask that in your name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to draw two ideas from this passage today, and two very simple ideas, and yet very difficult, I think, actually, to do well. And they're just two words, really, that come right out of the text, which is listening and then doing. Listening and doing. And in verses 19 to 22 or so, we are invited, or James discusses this idea of listening. And in verse 19, James writes, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James kind of takes all those three things, speaking, listening, and anger, and he tries to unpack this. And I don't know about you, but this is a much-needed message in our day, isn't it? It is a much-needed message in our day and age because everyone wants to be heard. Whether it's social media or the national media or every article on the internet that has an opinion column and then comment section after comment section where people want to express their opinions or their views on every detail. Everyone wanting their voice to be heard. But Scripture says everyone should be quick to listen and very slow to speak. Slow to anger. James says, don't be riled up so easily. And as I think about the friends that I have or the things that I see around me, there are so many people on the edge right now, which I get. Life can feel unstable, can't it? It can feel uncertain. We don't really know how things are going to pan out. There are world crises happening all around us. There are difficulties in our families, relationships, at work, at church. There is fear and uncertainty which can set in. And at times, you just kind of want to explode with anger and frustration. But James says, slow down. Slow down. Take things in. Don't express yourself so quickly. Because the anger of humanity, James writes, doesn't accomplish what God wants to accomplish. If this is your first time reading James, then sometimes I find it helpful just imagining, you know, what is James? Who is James? The closest I could get to was Paul Hollywood. He's the kind of Paul Hollywood of the Bible. It's like cutting, searing feedback. Just tells it how it is. It's just very clear. And he's saying, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Be slow to anger. The things that you get frustrated about and the way that you express it isn't going to accomplish the things that God wants to accomplish. And then look at what James connects our ability to listen with. So he says, be slow to speak, quick to listen, And in the very same verse, James talks about being slow to anger. I find that interesting that in what we're to be doing, which is to be quick to listen and slow to speak, that he connects anger with those things. I wonder why he does that. And in verse 21, he picks up on this theme of anger again. And James seems to be making a connection between our anger and our ability to listen. If you think about what anger is, there is this internal version of anger and there is an external one, isn't there? And anger is usually a reaction out of defense of something or someone. So you can have a positive anger. In fact, we read of God being angry in the face of injustice. We read it in the Gospels when Jesus saw something that was wrong, that actually one of the emotions that he experienced was anger. There's a positive anger which comes out in defense of something or someone. But of course, there's the negative side to that, isn't there? Where anger erupts from us. And if you think about why that is, usually our anger is stirred when we're trying to defend ourselves. Have you ever thought about that? That anger comes out of us in defense of perhaps our own well-being or how we want people to perceive us. It can, if we receive feedback from work or criticism or something like that, the internal anger can start to swirl around you, can't you? And it's just a natural instinct. You want to defend yourself. Or perhaps anger sometimes comes out when you realize you're losing control of a situation. And anger can erupt either internally and you can hold grudges towards people, or it can erupt externally because you feel overwhelmed. I don't know if you can relate to that in your own life. And so it's worth asking the question, what's the root of anger? If anger comes out because you're trying to save face or trying to grab control of a situation, what does that point to? And the Bible talks about pride as being a key motivator for everything that we do. Pride is so often the basis of our sin and our wrongdoing, because pride is this extreme focus on ourselves at the expense of everything else. That pride will elevate us above anything else. And so that because we see ourselves as primary, any attack onto that, any situation that rocks us, we kind of double down on ourselves and we begin to try and protect ourselves and we push people away and we try and grab control of things. And so anger is so often a result of pride in our lives. Now, what has anger and pride got to do with listening? I mean, you know, I said we're going to talk about listening and yet we've gone straight in pride and anger. But James is building this picture. He's saying, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. There is a connection that James is trying to relate to us and help us to understand. And in fact, he gives us the remedy. He says, look, it is a human emotion to experience anger. And that's because it's rooted in pride, which is rooted in sin, and it comes out of trying to protect yourself. And actually, your pride then becomes a barrier for you to listen. Your pride and anger becomes a barrier for you to listen. And so you might expect, well, what's the remedy for anger, for instance? Where you might say, well, it's self-control. Control your emotions. But James doesn't say that. What does James say the remedy for your anger and pride? Well, it's in verse 21. It says, therefore, so for everything that I've explained to you so far about being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, this is the way you do it. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. That's all your sin, all your failings. Get rid of all those things. And here's the remedy. Humbly accept the word planted in you. Humbly accept the word planted in you. The remedy for your anger and pride isn't self-control. It is humbly accepting the word of God. Humility. I find that such an interesting thing to think about. That the solution to our anger and our pride is not to be more restrained, but it's to come to God and his word and come in humility and to say, Lord, your ways are higher than my ways. I am a sinner saved by grace. I have moral failures. I am covered in filth. And Lord, I need you. I need your word planted in me. And look what James says, this word can do, it can save you. This word can save you. And it can deal with every sin and moral filth in your life forever. I remember when I was a teenager taking a walk with one of my youth leaders and feeling guilty about some things that were going on in my life. And I thought, I was like, I gotta tell him. I gotta tell my youth leader what is going on. And it was a big build up. You know the thing where it's like a big build up. You're getting ready to kind of tell the thing. And I told him the thing and he just looked at me and he said, oh, James, Jesus has forgiven you of much more than that. And it wasn't that he was brushing those things aside, but he was like, if you actually knew the depth of your sin, you would realize how glorious Jesus is. Our pride and our anger can be a barrier for us to listen to the word of God that is planted in you. It is planted in you. This word of salvation has been given to you. It has come near to us in the person of Jesus Christ. When he gave his life to die on a cross and remove our sin forever, it was at that moment that this word of salvation was planted into your heart, dealing with your pride and your anger and your frustration and your tendency to want to grab control of things. Jesus paid it all. He plumbed to the darkest depths of your heart and said, I am taking that away from you and I'm placing it on myself and I am burying it in the grave and I'm defeating it forever. And if you think that Jesus just came to forgive you for the little white lies and the discrepancies of your day-to-day life, then you've misunderstood the gospel. You've misunderstood the sin in our own lives because Jesus came for much more than that. He came to save you from the darkest things that you would not want the person next to you knowing about. He came for those things. And he's removed it from you forever. You may have walked in today and you may have that experience of just being gripped with sin and guilt and shame. And Jesus sees you in your state and is real about it. But friends, he is absolutely committed to you in love. Not through a contract that is written, not out of duty, but in love. He loves you. And he gave his life for you. And so as we begin a new year and as we think about how are we going to then live? James is saying a good place to start is to humbly accept the word of God. Allow it to cleanse us from our sin. And in that position, then we're able to listen. Then we're able to listen to what God has to say about. Be quick to listen. I don't think it's just practical advice about our conversations after church. Be quick to listen and slow to speak, although that is good advice, isn't it? It's good pastoral advice. Just don't go blurting in. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. The people that you probably enjoy spending time with are the ones that listen to you. It's good practical advice, but I think James is a bit more profound than that, and he's saying, be quick to listen to God. Be quick to listen to God. And your pride and sin is a barrier for that to happen. So come with humility. So that's the first thing, listening. But secondly, James says this in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. And he uses this illustration then in verse 23 about a mirror, looking in a mirror and then walking away from it and forgetting what you look like. And really the illustration is about, essentially you look in the mirror, you see what you look like, you put the mirror down and you walk away and you forget. James is trying to drive at the idea of you've put the mirror down rather than taking it with you wherever you go. So rather than forgetting what you look like, I suspect you've got a reasonable idea of what you look like. Really, the illustration is about you've put the mirror down. The mirror is, well, we see it later on in verses 24 and 5. The mirror is the perfect law. It's the word of God that brings clarity to your life. That's this picture of the mirror. And James is saying, if you just listen to it and don't actually do it, you essentially are just discarding the mirror. You're discarding the word of God and just getting on with your own life. You leave the word of God at the door. Does that make sense? You leave the mirror. And James is saying it's possible to listen to the word of God, to read it, to sit in church, to be here today, to be part of a connect group. It's possible to listen to sermon after sermon after sermon and then to walk out and put nothing into practice. James is saying that is a very live issue in every person's walk with God, that you would just listen and listen and listen and take it in and be fed and fed and fed. And you would be so consumed and filled up that you wouldn't even be able to kind of get up off the sofa, as it were, because you've just been feeding and gorging it, but you haven't actually put it into practice. It's possible to be like that. It's possible to come here every Sunday for years and not put anything into practice. And it's like the equivalent of being in that safety briefing room where you just listen to the instructions and you think that's what it is to climb. To watch a video of people climbing the wall. And James says, the Christian life is not like that. That's not it. Why would you just listen to it? James says, be quick to listen, yes. Humbly accept the word of God, yes. Don't listen to the nonsense out in the world. Listen to the word of God, but then do it. And here's the warning. He says, if you just listen to it and don't actually do it, you're deceiving yourself. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. If we just listen to it and don't do it, we are fooling ourselves. We are we're effectively lying to ourselves. We've convinced ourselves that to follow Jesus is just to listen and to not actually let it and allow the word of God to affect our decision making, to live our lives based on it. So we can listen to the word of God and then we can walk out the door and we make our own decisions. We filter everything through our own lens rather than the lens of the word of God. And we do that all the time, don't we? I do that all the time. How many times have I made a decision where I've not sat and listened to the word of God? Rather than what I often do is just do what makes sense. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? How on earth do I know what makes sense? We've just read in the first few verses already that our hearts are gripped with pride. So whatever decisions I make that make sense usually are for self-preservation. What's going to be good for me? And I'm deceiving myself in the process. And James says, no, listen to the word of God that sits above the noise and the nonsense in our own lives and in this world. Listen to that word and then make decisions according to that. Not what is going to make your life more convenient. Not what makes sense to you. Not what gives you that quick fix. He says, no, make decisions according to the word of God and do it. So can I encourage you? I don't know what your conversations are like with people over Christmas and New Year about New Year's resolutions and, you know, what are you going to do and goals. Some people love them, some people hate them. I don't really care what you like and don't like according to those things. But what I do care about is don't just come here and listen. Don't just read your Bible for the sake of reading the Bible and then not do it. James says, put it into practice. Make some decisions according to what you read. Do you know what? When you start to make decisions according to the word of God, it doesn't increase your popularity with people. Have you noticed that? When you make a decision according to the word of God and then you step out into the world, there is a clash of cultures because what God says is very different to what the world says. Have you noticed that? So what God says about relationships is very different to what the world says about relationships. What God says about money, the world says something very different. What God says about your work and career is very different to what the world says. There is a clash, and if you think you can kind of straddle both things, it's going to be very, very difficult, and it's going to be exhausting. And God says, just don't do that. Don't meddle around with the things of the world. Listen to my word and do it. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourselves. One thing that I've thought about is every morning when I leave for work or I'm heading out, I was struck by the idea that I so often just in a rush just leave the house and not really think about how am I going to make decisions today? Am I going to make decisions according to my own logic and sense, or am I going to make decisions according to what God says? And I suppose some kind of resolution for me would be, Lord, I want to listen to your word, and when I leave my home, I want to do what it says, whatever that presents to me. I want to encourage you to do that for yourself. Perhaps just to take that step of saying, Lord, I don't want to be influenced by the noise around me or even my own pride, but I want to be influenced by you and make decisions according to your word. Because look what James then finishes with in verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Friends, to experience freedom and blessing is to do what God has said for you to do. That's where you experience freedom and blessing, and everything in you, in your flesh, wants to say, no, no, that doesn't make sense. That's not convenient for me. That's not what I want. I want all these things, but God says, no, no, the free and blessed life is to live according to my word. So whether you are drawn to possessions or money or dating someone who isn't a believer or giving your life to something outside of what the gospel and what the Bible teaches and doing things because it just feels right in yourself. The scripture says you're not going to live in freedom and blessing as a result. You might experience temporary pleasure just for a moment, but you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. The freedom and the blessing comes when we listen, which takes time, doesn't it? To listen takes time. It's a daily thing, isn't it? To listen to God, to get into his word, to consider what he's saying before stepping out the door, perhaps. To listen, to hear, and then to put it into practice. That's where the blessed life comes. And so just as we finish, and I'm just going to invite Will and the band to come up. I want to ask you to consider, you know, who or what are you listening to? Firstly, and then what are you putting into practice? The truth is that we are all listening to stuff, aren't we? We're listening to stuff all the time. The truth is that we're doing a lot of stuff, aren't we? We're all busy doing things, aren't we? The question is, who are you listening to? And what are you doing? And perhaps just at the beginning of this year, there's a moment to just come humbly to Jesus and say, Jesus, I actually just don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know if you've had that experience in life where you're like, I just don't really know what I'm doing, if I'm honest. I don't know what the right decision to make is now. I feel like I've got myself in a bit of a bind here. I've got myself into something that I probably know I shouldn't do, but... And you can just come humbly to Jesus and say, Lord, I need your word planted in me. I want to listen to you. And then I don't want to deceive myself, but I want to do what you've said. And for each one of us, that will be different things. It might be that actually I just need to open the Bible. Do you remember Laura Barnett speaking in December? If you haven't listened to that message, do. It was just this great line where she's like, read those Bibles. It's good for us. It might be a step towards that. Perhaps you're not a Christian here and it's brilliant to have you here, but you want to explore faith. You might want to consider doing something like Alpha, which is starting in a few weeks' time. Perhaps you want to take a step and be part of the community here and join a connect group. Whatever it is, each of us can take a step and say, Lord, I want to listen to you. I want to do what it says. Friends, that's what it means to follow Jesus. We did a whole discipleship series on follow Jesus. Discipleship can be boiled down to two very simple words, which is listen and do. It really isn't more complicated than that, and yet we find it so difficult, don't we? Listen and do. So why don't we stand? And I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to sing as well. But why don't you just come humbly to Jesus? and you can come and you can say, Lord, would you have mercy on me? And have mercy on my sin and my pride and my anger. Or would you forgive me of my moral failings and the evil and darkness and sin in my own heart? Would you forgive me of those things? Thank you that you have done that on the cross. And Lord, we want to listen to your word that is planted in us and then do what it says. And I want to pray for each person here at the beginning of this year. Lord, would this year coming be a year where we are simply obedient to you? That this would be a church that is absolutely hanging on your every word. That we would listen to what you have to say. That we would make space and time to hear what you have to say. Above the noise, above the nonsense. That we would listen to you, Lord Jesus. And then we wouldn't be apathetic and just walk out the door or leave the mirror. But Lord, that we would be doers of the word. Help us to live vibrant, dynamic, joy, blessed, free lives that you invite us to. Help us to walk out of the safety briefing room and climb the walls that you have prepared for us. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.